But TED Talks are always clearly focused, story wrapped in action, igniting if they're impactful.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Devin Marks. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Devin. One, he was a seminary graduate who deconstructed TED Talks. Two, he is known as the TED Talk Whisperer, who's trained hundreds of speakers for TED, TEDx, and TED-type talks, including Dr. Robert Waldinger, whose TED Talk has received over, wait for it, 40 million views. 40 million. And three, Devin was a stay-at-home dad who started a part-time business so he could be closer to his family. Devin Marks, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much. And it's a joy to be here and have a fun conversation that I hope serves your listeners.
Devin, I'm sure you've got some gems for them, because you're in examining TED Talks. I'm guessing we're finding a new way of communicating that business leaders need to be up to speed on pretty quickly. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's very true, George. There is a paradigm shift that took place a decade ago when TED released its first six videos on YouTube as a lark, as an experiment, as a, whoa, what just happened? Because 1,000 views, 10,000 views, 100,000, a million views quickly resulted of lectures. What's that all about? Well, I was running a nonprofit when TED did that down in Florida, celebrating stories of Florida's history and heritage, and very zoned in on that expression of idea sharing, because I was really trying to figure out how to get young people bit by the history bug. So they'd just start scratching and it'd take over their life as it had taken over mine. And so I tracked with TED from the 2006 release of those first six talks, really, to the present. And increasingly, what TED was doing was redefining how we share ideas from stage and on screen. Something of value certainly exists in the Toastmasters approach. Something certainly of value exists in the Dale Carnegie public speaking or fill in the blank. Boy Scout merit badge. There's value there, but it doesn't, that model, those models don't reach what I call, and this is not an age specific term, the TED Talk generation. And the TED Talk generation is you, me, a 17-year-old with this in their hands. TED understood very early on a combination of factors made sharing from this potent.
When you started deconstructing the TED Talks, what were the surprises that you came across?
Good question. And actually, let me just clarify in the opening, there was one thing that I would be remiss not to mention. I can't take credit for being a seminary graduate. I'm a seminary dropout. I had 2 years in my father's institution, my grandfather's, my great-grandfather's. So I was the black sheep that showed up late to seminary, not to become a pastor, but to deconstruct TED conferences and why they were so viral, so popular, and other conferences with countdown clocks were not. And I dropped out. So, but thankfully, forgiveness is a very big part of that. So to answer your question, some things that stood out to me, I was just gobsmacked, blessed, as I began to unpack the TED conference model, to run into Billy Graham's driver. Lyman Coleman was 80 at the time, or right around there, and we hit it off. He was crossing the street one day, so was I. We struck up a conversation, and the driver married the secretary. The driver and the secretary did a lot of the advance work for the events, but then after the show left town, Lyman headed up small group and interaction with the youth until he aged out of that and started his own kind of thing. And he said, you know, Devin, once I explained what Ted was, because no one in town had heard of Ted at that point, he said, you know, Devin, they're doing nothing different than Billy did 50 odd years ago. A clearly focused message, a story wrapped message, a call to action that's action igniting for a new platform. For Billy Graham, it was television. It was brand new. For Ted, the secular church of ideas, I call it. For Ted, YouTube was new and social media was new. But TED Talks are always clearly focused, story wrapped in action igniting if they're impactful. So that was a big surprise. That history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes was playing out in that very personal way. And as Lyman mentored me and we became buddies and he was at my wedding and all the rest of that, there was just this core understanding of what effective communications was and how to make it more life-changing, right? Again, whether a secular TED message or a Christian or religious sermon, the goal was the same. You want to connect with the speaker, with the audience. You want to connect them to the ideas through story, and you want to compel them to take some change in their life, and not world-shaping change, not go marry the girl or quit your job, but take steps in the direction to a positive next level in your life and relationships. And I think that's what TED does pretty darn well too. And I didn't expect that.
When you're working with potential TED or TEDx speakers or TED type talks, where do you start with them?
Always with their story. One of my favorite questions is, what brought you, George, to this invitation to deliver a talk? Well, just walk me through the career path, the life path, the relationship path that led to today. And what is always fun, especially when I'm working with engineers who always preface that with, I don't have any stories. There's a rich seedbed of story in the career, the relational, and the life path. And it probably is connected. That's what the rearview mirror is for, to what they're doing today, the big idea they're called to share. And then from there, we typically begin to ask, what is that idea, that big idea? And can we mill it down and begin refining it through a six-step process? I call that the idea mill, right? But can that idea, the focusing, that first principle, clearly focused, can the focusing of that idea that's probably about 400 words and about a 3.5-minute discourse, and it's unwieldy and misshapen, and it's sometimes their pre-idea, and they've got six of these floating around. We want to hone in on that one over time, and then begin tweaking, refining, balancing it, tightening it, concentrating it. We want it to be tweet length or shorter, memorable, alliterative, etc.
That story, or the question about what got you here, how did you get here, is that more for the speaker to actually think about the process? Or is it for the audience to learn more about the speaker?
Well, I think I'm not, this is very much the early conversation and client work one-on-one. And so I need to catch up with your world and your expertise. The great news is I'm a generalist and I'm a general audience member, and I don't understand nuclear physics, nor do I understand, car mechanics or how to raise a kid. All of these worlds of expertise, I'm crashing into, and I'm trying to simplify enough so that somebody else who heard about it secondhand could understand it and want to know more. That's one of the tasks at hand.
When you're looking for their story or looking to develop the story, The story, I'm guessing, is only valuable if we can see the human side of them. And maybe that means an embarrassing moment or revealing a flaw.
Could be, could be. I really enjoyed a recent podcast you did with Graham Brown, the three box storytelling. And I will commend your listeners to that. Hit stop now in our interview, go listen to it and come back, because it's rich and insightful and very much a guiding model. You know, the reality is that we all have stories. Some are vignettes, some are illustrations, some are examples, some have a beginning and no middle and no end. Some have some version of that. Rarely is there a beginning, middle, and end, or as Graham said, a three-box storytelling model. But what we want, to use my language, essentially the same thing he's saying, is we want a challenge-shaped story. We want the hero's journey as concentrated as possible for the short talk model that is a TED talk, but also an elevator pitch or a sales pitch or a venture capital pitch. They're all short, right? And there's one form of story that we radiate to, and it is that a hero is walking along, he's whistling, looking at the beautiful day, sees a bird, falls in a hole, crawls his way out, dusts himself off, continues, and now he's looking up and down and enjoying the day. A setup, a problem, a resolution. Now, that most concentrated form of story is what we begin to lean towards as we dissect the career path, the life path, the relationship path of any speaker.
I've been told that most people take too long setting up the story.
So true. Too much detail, too much this, that, and the other. Just enough. We need just enough. I liken a TED talk to climbing Mount Everest. And I'm not going to ask you to do that on your own. I'm a Sherpa. I'm a servant to your ambition. And so I'll lead you up Mount Everest. We've been up and down it many, many, many times. I know where the gravel crumbles. I know where the wind is bad and the sun is too hot and water is good or bad. We can go a number of ways, but trust me in this path. Well, I mean, they're grappling hooks we need to toss onto the side of that mountain and pull up. And those are those relatable details. Those are those little two or three is all you need to establish credibility and ideally share something of your story that's relatable and that the audience can import into their own story and future, right? I've done that before. Oh, I want to go with you on this journey.
Now, I can see the relevance of telling stories in a leadership-type team-building presentation, but what about when there's money on the line? What about when we're going after a big sale or a big investment?
Great, great question. You know, there are two answers there. One, I always encourage, and this is a discipline and it takes a lot of work. Let's get that basic story framed and shaped like Graham Brown was talking about, right? Two, let's then borrow an insight from sales, a sales leader named Tim Pollard, who is a dear friend, wrote the Compelling Communicator and has a shop called Aratium in Montana. And Tim says, what is the story of that sales pitch that's going to be told with the decision makers after you leave the room? The multi-generational story is some of my language, but it's the same idea. There's a story of the story that will be told. Let's anticipate what it is and help shape that. Now, in the TED context or the business context, that takes a little bit of work and a little bit of rehearsing and refining and tweaking and not winging it is important to consider. So another way to answer your question as it relates to money being involved is to share a story, right? One of my clients, 2 years ago, pre-COVID, we engaged in July 19, and I was brought on with a rowing startup in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to perhaps train their athletes who row and do virtual training, kind of like Peloton through video, to train their athletes in story so that they weren't just yelling at their trainees, they were entertaining them. They were moving the workout faster and easier through the power of story. Well, that never came to fruition, but what it led to was a conversation with the CEO who wanted to do a TED Talk, and I was excited by that. So was he. But as Series A funding, when you think venture capital, you know, there's family startup, and then there's Series A, Series B. Series A funding was running out, and the pressures of that next step in the business were beginning to mount. And our TED talk engagements and sessions were being missed or rescheduled. When we did talk, we were talking deeply about Hydro's story. That's the Peloton of rowing, virtual rowing. How is he going to explain the Hydro story to investors as crisply and as spread friendly and as succinctly as possible, much less compel them to invest, right? Well, we began working through that. And over the course of 3 months, it culminated in a final pitch in California over crab legs and cocktails. And the sessions leading right into that conversation were fast and furious, not on the flight, but right before and right after. And to this day, Bruce is generous enough to say that your story savvy is what really brought them over the finish line and into Series B funding. And they've now raised $200 million in startup. You're probably seeing them on your news feed or on your television selling the rowing machines.
If I'm hearing right, a good story raised $200 million.
That, I think, and there were many other oars and hands-on oars in that organization, to be sure, but Bruce is really generous and hasn't forgotten the folks that were part of the team that got him there, and says, yes, this story training was critical. The TED messaging method that we were unpacking together was critical to his reaching Series B funding.
When a business leader comes to you and says, Devin, I want to do a TED talk or I want to do a TEDx talk. Can you help me? And how long is this going to take? And, you know, I already know the story. I don't need to practice much. Where do you take them after you tell them to now just sit down and listen? What do you tell them?
I try and scare them a little bit and get pupil dilation. In our first session, I really want to lay out what goes into creating and rehearsing and delivering a successful TED or TEDx, TED style message. The CEO of Christianity Today recently engaged me to create with him a commencement speech in May of 20. Same process as a TED talk. And wouldn't you know it, he was a busy guy. And there is no one who's been invited to a TED stage who's not busy and pulled in 11 directions. So one, I try and scare them into the reality of how much work is involved. And I say, look, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation if I didn't already know you have the bench strength that I call it the Scottie Pippen fast twitch muscles. You know, Scottie Pippen's an amazingly talented and gifted athlete, but he also has the buy-in. He is a hard trainer and practice mate. I mean, the discipline he brings to the court for practice is legendary. The third element is one I have no sense of, and that's what's your bandwidth? What's your schedule looking like? And let me just explain to you what's involved in a minimum of a 3-month engagement, moving pre-idea, or you have an idea, to center stage. Those 90 days are going to be intense, but to reassure them, my job description is to come alongside you. My team and my certified trainers, in some cases, they're trained to come alongside you and accommodate your personal vagaries of schedule shifts and personality and focus or lack thereof and discipline or lack thereof and hurry up and wait or whatever all that is. You know, the folks I work with are terribly gracious and patient and understand that hike is dangerous up to Mount Everest. And the best way to do it is if we have rapport and trust instead of guilt and you should do.
Mistakes. What mistakes do you see business leaders committing in their style or delivery when they first come to you that you need to cleanse out of their system?
Too often they're accustomed to being the sage on stage, the authority figure that no one tells them they're doing anything wrong. That certainty that they got it is a confidence, but also it hobbles them in the delivery that is a TED Talk. Because a TED Talk or a TED level delivery in any context involves a great deal of rehearsing, a great deal of coaching, and a great deal of feedback from general audience members. And that feedback loop improves the delivery every time. And that takes a little bit of courage to let go of control. You know, that's one. The other is, you know, not a business leader, but some of the more difficult people to work with are the most experienced speakers because they think a motivational speech, a sermon, a keynote in front of 100,000 people many times over decades makes for a good TED Talk. It doesn't. In fact, it makes for a TED fail. It more often than not, maybe they've got brand resonance and followers, but more often than not, it peters out at 13,000 views. What is it that separates a highly polished, experienced, Brian Tracy-like public speaker, Dale Carnegie, again, you know, Toastmasters champion. There's never been a Toastmasters champion who delivered a million view TED Talk. Why is that? Because they're trying to adapt the TED model, which was a paradigm shift at every level of idea sharing, to their stage and preparation style. And it results in a mess. So, or something that feels very not authentically TED. It feels like something else. Feels like a motivational speech. Feels like a aspirational this and that. It feels like a... you know, any keynote anywhere. And again, TED was a paradigm shift. And part of that is TED Talks are clearly focused in the TED style. They're story wrapped in the TED style and they're action igniting in the TED style, not in the Toastmaster style or in the Boy Scout Merit Badge style. Would it be helpful if I unpack those three principles just a little bit?
Please do.
Yeah. So clearly focused. I mean, we know what that is. That's common sense. We don't want to deliver a talk without a story and a call to action. But that's all 2005. Remember, 2006 is when the first TED Talks released. In 2009, TEDx happened. In 2010 or 11, they hit a multi-billion views. Clearly focused in the TED style means one big idea. We spoke to that a little bit ago when we were talking about the idea mill. And secondly, that one big idea is undergirded and moved forward by one, two, or three, but not five, seven, and 11 key points. Because we don't remember five, seven, and 11 things. We remember three or fewer. And so sifting and sorting what those three points are, it's called the rule of three, what those three points are, and should number five become number two, is part of that rehearsal and focus grouping open source feedback loop that we spoke of. Again, common sense, but uncommonly applied. Secondly, in the story wrapped context, and we talked about this, it's not just inserting a story to open and connect with your audience and inserting a story at the close to bring them to their feet, make them a little weepy and start applauding. We need to wrap those three principles and that big idea in a story that continues to develop through the message, or three or four mini stories. But again, a certain type of story, challenge-shaped story, is a good default. There are seven, right, types of story. But and secondly, as you had pointed out earlier, relatable detail, but not so much that you've slathered mayonnaise everywhere on the sandwich. You just need a little soupçon.
Devin, the TED style, how can we learn from that and apply it to this new world of on-camera virtual presentation? That's not likely to go away soon. We've learned how convenient this method is. And Devin, the TED style, how can we learn from that and apply it to this new world of on-camera virtual presentation? That's not likely to go away, and we've learned how convenient this is.
So true. So true. I think it's tied to a number of things, but let's continue that stream for a moment and answer your question this way. A TED Talk or a presentation on screen. Now, that's the thing that took me a while to figure out. My business for six years, ran by referrals for the most part. And it was public speakers, not on screen. COVID brought that, forced that into my world. And I started scratching my head and I was like, what's next as we transition into a new idea sharing context? And it dawned on me that what TED Talks do through the TED messaging model is they connect with viewers on screen first and foremost. It's not the butts in seats in the auditorium, whether 100 or 1,000. It's the person watching on screen that goes, ooh, click, not close browser, but open share and text it or post it on social media for all friends and family to see. And that's part of that action igniting reality. A TED Talk is clearly focused story wrap and action igniting. And what we want to do is drop some suggestions, a call to action, so that these are winnable wins, replicable wins. The call to action is not to clean the ocean of all plastic and save the whales or the ozone layer or fill in the big, hairy, audacious goal that we're all driven by, right? And inspired by in a TED Talk. Those don't work. Those calls to action to, we need to take baby steps and experience what pastors in a sermon context call the application of the message. How do you apply that sermon on Sunday or Saturday to Monday or Tuesday, not next year, next month, next quarter? It's done through winnable wins, small, habit-forming, replicable, shareable wins. The way I always explain it is I hold hands with my daughter and we walk up to the water's edge and I point at a piece of plastic and I pick it up. She sees me do that and she picks up a piece. I pick up a piece and others down the way start picking up pieces. And that replicable, winnable win approach to a call to action and a message is potent. It played out with Dr. Robert Waldinger, who you referenced in the open, when he was asking folks to take some simple steps to change their relationships. He's the head of a research set at Harvard University that has been developing for 80 years. Now, he's the fourth director of the study. But over those 80 years, they've been asking what makes for a good life for a man or a family? What are the elements that make us live long, be mentally able, physically able, relationally engaged, happy? What's the good life? Well, the secret to the good life is it is built with good relationships. The good life is built with good relationships. That's the big idea. The three key points that undergird that: social connections are really good for us. That's the Kiwanis, the bowling club, the softball club. The quality of close relationships matter most. That's your spouse, your children, your parents, your fill in the blank. And those good relationships protect our brains. Those three principles, social connections, quality of close connections, and the protection of our brain are what make for the good life in the long run. And they've been following a class from 1938 to the present. It was actually JFK's Harvard class. Following those gentlemen to the present, there are a few still alive, and comparing and contrasting them to some Boston toughies from South Boston who grew up in tenement housing, no electricity, no running water. Compare the privileged to the strugglers and followed them through 80 years. And again, the big aha was the good life is built with good relationships. Well, what are the action igniting suggestions he dropped? It wasn't stop drinking. It wasn't go to marriage counseling. It wasn't confront your children about their drug abuse. It was replace screen time with people time. Take long walks together. Reach out to that family member you haven't spoken to in years and heal that rift. Those are three things you can do tonight. And I can't hazard how many people may have been inspired to change their family life because of that sermon they heard whenever they opened that TED browser and then closed it and forwarded that talk to now 41 million people.
And what I find compelling is that those are simple and easy steps to take.
Because the simple is rarely so simple as we think, number one, on the surface. And the common is uncommonly applied, as we spoke in the public speaking context. I think that applies a lot in life. We know what we should do, but as we're told through the ages, we don't do it.
Yeah, and we need to be reminded of that over and over again.
I think you're right. In whatever context, this idea set, the TED messaging method, be clearly focused, be story wrapped, be action igniting, applies throughout our communication opportunities or challenges. And that's important to consider as a business leader in a elevator pitch. Don't we want that to be focused, storied, and action igniting? In a sales pitch, in a short talk, in a TED talk, in a podcast interview, you tell me that there's not a through line in this conversation, and it is to connect with your audience and compel them to action. You need to adopt the TED messaging method. And what is that? Three principles, right? And what do you do next? Well, I'll invite your viewers to explore this a little bit more. There's a wonderful resource that pairs these principles with TED Talks from the TED stage. And it unpacks why Dr. Waldinger's talk was so explosive. And if your listeners go to Connect to Compel, Connect to Compel Now, there's a PDF that they can download and make use of. And I would love to engage any number of your listeners around that content and their big idea worth spreading.
There's a resource for you at Connect to Compel Now. And you can find that link in the description below. Devin, in wrapping up, if there's one, two, or three ideas, perhaps, or even reminders that you could offer to business leaders to make their virtual presentations more effective and less painful for everyone.
Happy to do so. And let me just paint a picture. I'm very, very visual, right? So an easy fill-in-the-blank tool for you, whether it's a podcast or an employee all-hands presentation or a fill-in-the-blank. Draw an Athenian temple, right? So there's a big dome. There are three pillars and there are stairs coming out of the temple. And there are two doors, right? The big idea is what's on the big dome. Make sure it's short and pithy and it's a bumper sticker, right? The three key points undergird that big idea, support it individually and collectively, move that idea forward. And up those stairs and into that first door, let's call that a story doorway, right? Inside the temple are other stories and data or research findings or how the sales protocol works for this team or what the mile markers are, et cetera. But as you exit, you're going through another story doorway and down 3 to 6 stairs. And those 3 to 6 stairs that you're exiting the temple on are the action igniting next steps. If you just take that visual and fill in the blank, I use post-it notes of various sizes to create the temple. And I shift around those columns. Yeah, there's 7 over here. I just need to borrow that one and swap it in for number 2. Or there are steps leading out. Well, 6 is a lot. Let's go with 3 or 4. Let's go with one. Visit connecttocompelnow.com, for example. Let's go with one. Whatever that is, as a next step in action, just write it in, jot it in, fill it in. And that's a pretty tight, focused, story-wrapped, and action-igniting message.
And Devin, that was a clear visual map of a path that we can follow.
Well, thank you, George. That's encouraging to hear. You know, it's one thing to explain it. It's another thing to hear from somebody of your experience and expertise. Attaboy. So thank you.
Yes, I could see myself walking through that temple and visualizing the ideas. My guest today is Devin Marks, reminding you to have one big idea, story wrapped and action igniting.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.